Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayden Soprenant. Thanks again for downloading and listening to the Brayden Soprenant Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSERP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and subscribe to my YouTube page at BSERP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show, at BSERP show. Now, let's get into the show. Thanks again for joining us each and every day on the Brayden Soprenant Show. We greatly appreciate it. And right now, it is time. You know what time it is, Frank?
I'm
going to try it again. What time is it? Almost there.
1 o'clock.
It is 1 o'clock. What does that mean?
It's not nap time. It's the final hour of the show.
It is the final hour of the show. What time is it?
1 o'clock? Dude. 101. Is that what you were looking for?
No. It's time to announce today's biggest fan.
There it is. Okay.
Come on. We want to say congratulations to today's biggest fan, Tom O'Neill in Ramona. Give us a call within the next 10 minutes at 833-288-0973, and you'll qualify for a grand prize, 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey suite at a Padres game with all of the fan staff later this season. Catered by Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine. Remember to register your name at 97thethefansd.com/biggestfan today. Tom O'Neill and Ramona, you're today's biggest fan. Tom O'Neill. Give us a call, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Tom O'Neill. Somebody alert Tom to call in to the radio station. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Tom O'Neill, you have 10 minutes to try to qualify.
Well, 9.5.
There you go. Gracie was ready to call in. Wasn't her. Rod, Tom O'Neill doesn't even like sports. Nate, he's taking a nap. I love it. All right, so while we wait for Tom to see if Tom O'Neill gives us a phone call, there's a lot of stuff we got to get to still that we want to get to. I do want to mention that all guests on 97th of the Fan join us on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. This hour of 97th of the Fan is brought to you by Toyota Poway, voted San Diego's number one Toyota dealer by USA Today. It's the season to save at Toyota of Poway. The Black Friday sales event is on with brand new Toyotas in stock and ready to roll. Hurry to Toyota of Poway or ToyotaPoway.com and drive home happy this holiday. A couple things I want to get to. I want to get to San Diego FC in our next segment, Frank. We're going to do that there.
Okay.
I do want to talk about Aztecs basketball and high school football. I think we should do the high school football stuff tomorrow since there's a championship game tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll kind of recap what happened in the division semifinals.
Works for me.
And then we will get to, we will talk a little bit more about the championship game tomorrow and everything like that. So let's dive into Aztecs basketball tonight. And then we're going to get to San Diego FC in just a little bit. So Aztec basketball will take on Michigan tonight, 7:30. We have two big games in town. San Diego FC will be playing Minnesota, and the winner will be into the conference final in the Western Conference, the MLS playoffs. And then we have at 7:30 in Vegas, we have San Diego State basketball taking on Michigan. And we're going to talk about that as well here in just a second. So, as of right now, San Diego State is playing in the Players Era Festival. The Players Era Festival started earlier this morning. Tennessee knocked off Rutgers. And we have Baylor and Creighton battling it out right now. As Baylor and Creighton are coming down to the wire, Baylor just threw the ball away. And they have a three-point lead. So Baylor's up 77-74 on Creighton with 18.4 seconds left in the game. Notre Dame and Kansas just tipped off not too long ago. They're under 10 minutes to go in the first half. Kansas has a 22-16 lead on the Fighting Irish. That's all part of this tournament that San Diego State is playing in. They head in a Monday night in Las Vegas facing one of the most expensive and most hyped rosters in college basketball. Brian Dutcher didn't mince words about how Michigan built it when he was asked about it earlier this week. Michigan's roster is loaded with high-profile transfers from UCLA, Illinois, UAB, North Carolina, Alabama, and Ohio State, and is reportedly valued over $12 million in NIL, making it one of the highest-priced lineups in the country. Brian Dutcher acknowledged this week in an article by Mark Ziegler, quote, "It looks like a really good roster that money had a lot to do with getting. They have really good NIL. Michigan nearly grabbed San Diego State's own rising star, 7-footer Magoon Gwath, in the springtime. The reigning Mountain West freshman and defensive player of the year entered the portal, spoke to Dusty May and the Wolverines multiple times, including discussions about NIL, before ultimately returning to San Diego State, saying, quote, my heart was still here," which is good news for the Aztec. They're able to keep players like Magoon Gwath. This matchup obviously carries that deep emotional layer, too. Brian Dutcher spent 9 years at Michigan under Steve Fisher, winning a national title and playing in two more Final Fours before the staff was fired amid a booster scandal. Ironically, he now faces a version of Michigan that fully embraces the big money era. I mean, him and Steve Fisher got let go at Michigan for a booster scandal with money and paying players, and now it's like Michigan's bragging about the $12 million roster they have assembled. It's crazy how teams have been put together and how everything is played off now in this new era of NIL. Aztecs also face this game with urgency. I mean, after an embarrassing 108-107 double overtime loss at home to Troy, which is one of the worst non-conference losses in the Dutcher era, the defeat was humbling, exposing San Diego State's lack of physicality, intensity, and the players know it. Las Vegas has historically been good to the Aztecs. They're 36-12 in their last 48 games in Vegas, 9-2 in their last 11 non-conference tournament games, and last year's resume making wins over Creighton and Houston in this same event helped push them in the NCAA tournament. Aztecs have to have a good week this week. Otherwise, it's going to be, you better win the Mountain West Conference tournament. Field's even better than it was last time. There's 18 teams, 9 are ranked, and every school gets $1 million for being in this tournament. Michigan, meanwhile, undefeated but a little shaky. They're 4-0 with narrow escapes, and an overtime win was versus Wake Forest and a late rally against TCU. We talked to Jamie Dixon about that game earlier today, who was the head coach of the Horned Frogs. Michigan's also shooting just 21.2% from three over the last three games. Dusty May, the head coach at Michigan, says they're a work in progress with a, quote, high ceiling. Monday is strength on strength. Michigan, bully ball, massive front line, NBA-sized roster. Aztecs, defense toughness despite a recent lapse in both of those things. A win would be one of the biggest non-conference resume boosters of the Aztec season and a much-needed palate cleanser. This is a very important game for San Diego State. We talked about the storylines, Brian Dutcher's connection to Michigan, Magoon Gwath potentially being one of those players on that $12 million roster earlier in the spring when he was recruited by it in the transfer portal, and that Michigan roster at $12 million that they're spending compared to what else they got, what else everybody else has. 18-team field, 9 ranked teams, Aztecs could face Oregon, or they're going to face Oregon later. They could also face Auburn later this week. This is a good time for them to bounce back and get you some resume building deal. I think this is a good opportunity for San Diego State. I mean, they're going against what is one of the most talented rosters in college basketball, one of the most expensive rosters in college basketball. And you know what? As much as the Troy game was embarrassing, maybe it's the shot in the arm that the Aztecs need to finish and go through non-conference play. This is a great opportunity tonight for the Aztecs. They could really flip the script on what has happened already in the season by losing to Troy at home with a neutral site win over Michigan. It's a little bit better of a journey for San Diego State. It's a quicker trip for them going to Vegas than it is for Michigan. And despite the $12 million roster, I mean, I know TCU's roster isn't worth $12 million as somebody that watches them on a daily basis. And they were hanging tough with the Michigan team. I mean, we're talking about a TCU team that lost to New Orleans at the beginning of the season. New Orleans isn't very good. And they were going toe-to-toe with Michigan and lost by four. And it was the rebounding that killed them. So I'd like to see how San Diego State's going to do with that bully ball mentality. And they got to be able to shoot from beyond the arc. I mean, the Aztecs are going to have to make some threes. It's going to be Miles Byrd having to take control. Reese Dixon Waters is going to have a big game from beyond the arc, too. I know he missed a couple of threes late in the contest against Troy, but he needs to have a big day. And Magoon Gwath needs to be able to get some rebounds against a very massive, physical, and inside dominant team of Michigan. I mean, I think we preached enough that try have the ball in the lane against a weaker opponent like Troy. It's going to be tough to do that today against the Wolverines. Now, the one thing that you do have an advantage of is you do know how to guard, even though they didn't see it. Got to play good defense and make Michigan have to work outside because they are not successful from beyond the arc. They're shooting 21.2% from beyond the arc in their recent couple games. And again, they're even though they're 4-0, they beat Wake Forest in overtime by one. They survived against TCU by four. Aztecs need to be able to overcome the loss to Troy and be able to get out there. I mean, Reese Dixon Waters said they got punked by Troy. Knocked San Diego State out of AP Top 25 voting for the first time this season. And they mentioned in the loss that they had a lack of physicality against Troy. Well, they're going to need that tonight against Michigan. But, Frank, this is a very big game, very important game for the Aztecs against Michigan and a very important and fun tournament that we've had on all morning long, and it's been fun to watch. You got some big-time programs playing in this thing.
Yeah, you got some big schools playing in this tournament, and this is a real chance for you to really boost your status, to try to help erase that loss of Troy, and that starts tonight here against Michigan, which is, again, as you mentioned, a very, very good program. And if you can win tonight, I think that goes a big, big way into getting some of that national status back that you may have lost from that Troy loss.
There's so many connections between this Michigan team and the San Diego State team. I mean, this is a Michigan team, remember, that Brian Dutcher used to coach in that program. He won a national championship with Steve Fisher at Michigan, went to multiple Final Fours. Going against a Michigan team that's now coached by Dusty May, who the Aztecs beat in the Final Four to go to the NCAA National Championship game. When Dusty May was at Florida Atlantic, they had that shot. The Butler did it. Chris Ellis played that shot call on this radio station probably like 1,000 times. So you have that connection. You have the connection that Dusty May was trying to recruit Magoon Gwath in the springtime when he entered the transfer portal and had multiple discussions about NIL and all these other conversations to try to get him to transfer to San Diego, out of San Diego State to Michigan. And he ends up coming back to San Diego State. So there's a lot of storylines of this game, but ultimately this is they got to be able to compete very closely with Michigan. I think even if they lose, it's not going to be the end of the world, but they have to win at least one game in the Players Era Festival to really feel good about themselves moving forward for the rest of the conference, for the rest of the non-conference, and the rest of the season. Now, they have another opportunity later in December. They will play Arizona in Phoenix at a, quote, neutral site. We know, I mean, U of A travels anyway. They're playing in Phoenix. Are you kidding me? You'd be all over that. That's going to be basically a road game for the Aztecs. Unless, you know, Aztec fans travel pretty well, too. But they'll have another opportunity for against Arizona, who has done a great job early in the season, try to build the resume. But last year in this tournament, Frank, I don't want to say it's a must-win right now, but last year in this tournament, the two wins that you got against Creighton and Houston were the reason why you made the NCAA tournament as a play-in game.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what these tournaments can really help, as I mentioned, boost your national status again, especially after getting knocked around by Troy. Going to double overtime against Troy is not a good look. You didn't get any AP top 25 votes at all. Forget about making the top 25. You didn't get any votes in the top 25. And to beat high-quality programs like the ones you're going to be facing over the next couple of days is absolutely critical. I would say, yeah, it is a must-win because you're not going to get too much help from your conference.
Right. I mean, the conference did not do you any favors by losing games early. San Diego State didn't do any favors to themselves with the conference.
Boise State lost a pay game. There's at the start of the year.
UNLV has lost 2 to 3 paid games already. Not only a paid game, Frank, they lost to a team that is in a shopping mall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They lost to a team in a strip mall in Hawaii. You didn't even believe me when I told you that.
No, I did not.
They're not even a good D2 team or whatever division they are. It's a big game tonight for San Diego State. It's also a big game tonight for San Diego FC. We'll get you a preview of that when we come back. Frank and I will discuss. We'll get Frank's take on tonight's game. We will also hear from Drake Hills coming up at 1:35 to discuss the game a little bit further as we continue on the Braden Soprano Show, San Diego's number one sports station, 97 through the Fan. We do.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to talk about this soccer game tonight, MLS Cup playoffs, as San Diego FC will be taking on Minnesota United in the Western Conference semifinal. The game will start at 7 o'clock here at Snapdragon Stadium in town, and a win, they will be in the Western Conference final, as Vancouver has already punched their ticket to the Western Conference final. All right, let's talk about this game a little bit more. San Diego FC enters the biggest match in its brief history, obviously, the Western Conference semis against Minnesota United. Carrying both confidence and caution after a bizarre first meeting between the clubs earlier this season. In September, San Diego FC dominated every statistical category. 28-6 in shots, 14-6 in shots on target, 66% possession, and nearly 330 more completed passes. Yet they were routed 3-1, undone by poor finishing and 3 second-half goals from Minnesota. Pellegrino summed it up perfectly, quote, "If you don't score goals, you don't win the game." It's pretty simple. This rematch, with a trip to the conference final on the line, now revolves around a handful of storylines. But Frank, as mentioned before, if you look back to remember that game, that was a game that San Diego FC dominated across the statistical board and in the box score. But the only stat that matters is goals, and that's where they didn't execute.
No, exactly right. And I remember going to that game. They had several big opportunities. Several balls clank off the fence, off the uprights. I mean, they had their opportunities. A couple goals called back for offside. They had plenty of opportunity to win that game and just didn't. So I think they will be up for it. I believe they will be ready for the challenge here tonight. They've played Minnesota very, very well. Minnesota's also played San Diego FC very, very well. So it's going to be a very fun game to watch. And yes, it will only be on Apple TV Plus.
Let's talk about some of the things that the Union Tribune laid out, an article by Ryan Finley about the four storylines to watch in this match tonight. Number one was the two-week playoff break. Is this a momentum killer or a timely reset for teams in the MLS, Frank?
I mean,
because San Diego C was red hot, right, going into the playoffs.
I wouldn't say they were red hot, but they were good. I mean, they were rolling. That loss in game two, you immediately come back with a win in game three, a dominating win in game three, and you also have to think a lot of these guys that needed rest have had rest, but also a lot of the guys that you want playing. Anders Dreyer, for example, they were playing. They were out and they were keeping up.
And even though they're not playing with San Diego FC, they're still out there playing. Sitting on their couch for 2 weeks.
In World Cup qualifiers.
Right.
So, yeah,
high-level competition.
Yeah, so they were playing. They were keeping that momentum up. So, it can go either way. I personally don't mind getting a little bit of rest and having your key guys still contributing around the world. So that's...
Some of your players that were around the world, though, were a little bit of a health concern, but it sounds like they're going to be okay. I mean, yes. Chucky Lozano skipped the Mexico duty due to a hamstring issue. Anders Dreyer, who's the newcomer of the year and MVP finalist for San Diego FC, was sidelined due to a virus and missed Denmark's qualifier, but both returned to training, and Coach Mike Ivarra confirmed they will both play. Dreyer is the one irreplaceable piece on this team, the team's leader in goals and assists. Lozano, despite late-season drama and a benching, is a massive factor in penalty shootouts. He and Dreyer were the only two to convert in San Diego FC's first-ever shootout versus Portland.
Yeah, and I mean, that shootout was just... It was so bad. It really, really was. It was not great. You really don't want to go to that penalty shootout this time around if you don't absolutely have to. And I think San Diego FC can be explosive enough to be able to take this game in the 90.
How do you think Lozano does? What kind of impact does Lozano have in San Diego FC tonight?
I think, if any, it might be a second-half sub again. I think Pellegrino has played his way onto the pitch. Now, if you want to play, I think what they would do is you have whoever, I would say Baird, start as your striker, have Pellegrino and Dreyer on the wing, and then you sub maybe at halftime or early in the second half, sub Baird off for Lozano and then move Pellegrino to that center striker spot. That's what's worked for them over the last couple of games, and that's what has been so successful for them. That is personally what I would do. I wouldn't be upset if they started him, and I think he's going to have to play a big role.
Set piece crisis, Minnesota's superpower coming into this match. Minnesota United leads MLS with 25 set piece goals, 41% of their scoring. No accident. Their coach, Eric Ramsey, ran set-piece strategy at Manchester United. San Diego, just 10 set-piece goals all year. For San Diego FC goalkeeper, Pablo Cisniega, making his second straight playoff start due to CJ Dos Santos' injury. Communication should be critical in tonight's match, Frank. Minnesota can steal a match with one well-designed restart.
Yeah, set-pieces, for those of you who don't know, that's corner kicks, spotted free kicks, where like you have the wall set up. That's
41% of Minnesota's goals.
Yeah, so that's fouls in close, which is something, and penalty kicks as well. That's fouls in close. I'm sure a lot of those are corners. More of them are corners than they are free kicks. That's something you cannot do. A team this deep into a season, this deep into a playoff run, you're kind of playing with house money because no one expected you to do this, but you cannot afford to make those mistakes against a quality opponent like Minnesota United and like Vancouver, like you're going to see if you win tonight's game.
Who will score for San Diego FC? So since September, and that September loss that San Diego FC had to Minnesota, they have scored 17 goals. 8 have been by Dreyer, 6 have been from Pellegrino. Only 3 other goals by the entire roster combined. San Diego's obviously elite when Dreyer and Pellegrino are cooking, but dangerously dependent on those two particular players. If Minnesota locks in on those two particular players, the match could come down to maybe somebody else having to take the chance for San Diego FC. Do you see a situation in which San Diego FC's depth or other players come through tonight besides Dreyer and Pellegrino? Can they afford to not have Pellegrino or Dreyer score?
I think one of them, if not both of them, will score tonight if it's a multi-goal game. The thing you would really like to have happen is to have one of your tall defensemen get out and get a goal from a corner. That is something you would love to have happen tonight. Hopefully have it happen early, putting a lot of pressure. You know Snapdragon is going to be full. You know it is going to be rowdy. You know it is going to be loud. Use that momentum early in this game. But I believe if one of them doesn't score, I would have to think Lozano might have a helping hand in it. They really haven't had to rely on their midfielders trying to score a lot this year. De Los Santos hasn't had to. Godoy hasn't really had to. Yepe really hasn't had to. He scored a couple of corners this season, and we've talked about it all year long. Aside for that time that Ilosky was in your striker positions, they've gotten nothing from that center striker spot. So it can definitely hurt you being so overly reliant on those guys, but it hasn't hurt them so far. It has not hurt them this year.
Let's talk about one more. We're going to talk more about San Diego FC here in the next segment with Drake Hills. Do you want to get to your phone calls? 833-288-9973, 833-288-9973. Scouts of Ron and La Mesa joining the show. Ron, what's going on, man?
Well, Brayton, I'm doing well. And how much longer before Frank has his own Saturday 10 to 12 spot for FC soccer? I'm looking forward to it, Frank. You're knowledgeable.
I would love that. Thank you.
You're welcome. I don't know if you caught the Utah K-State game this weekend, Brady.
I did.
Dude, what is it about Utah and the referees? Yes, I'm bitter, but that was such an unbelievable game for K-State. And to get screwed over by about five calls that nobody else would say, I just got to get it off my chest, Brady, that's all. And then also, the Big 12 basketball, I'm telling you what, I didn't have any idea K-State was going to, Jerome Tang was going to put together another all-transfer team like they did in 2022, but it's going to be solid.
Big 12 basketball is going to be fun, Ron. I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, Ron's big K-State guy. He's my Big 12 brethren that likes to call in from La Mesa. The Utah K-State game was, I saw a lot of Kansas State fans complaining about the officiating in that game, you know, against the Utah Utes. I mean, K-State had a multi-touchdown lead on Utah, then threw a pick, Frank. Kansas State went for two and threw the pick two back, and then all of a sudden things started to unravel for Kansas State on the road against Utah. A lot of bad calls not going their way. Saw a lot of K-State people upset about that. That was rough. But, you know, Utah, everybody gets hosed in college football to an extent.
I was watching that game. I went out to lunch yesterday and the game was on. I was quite happy because I think I knew that I had picked that game. I didn't realize that you two had picked that game as well. I was like, huh, well, my pick's going to win. I like that. But other than that, I didn't get to see much of the game.
I went 8-2 last week.
Yeah, I know you did.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
It's mostly, I was like, oh, that game's going to be closer than the spread says. That game's going to be closer. That game's going to be closer. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, no way SC hangs with Oregon.
Yeah, but again, like I said, it was the week where every SEC team was playing a D3 school. It's like, well, we can't pick that game now, can we?
No. You can't even, like, bet on those games half the time. The TCU game was frustrating to watch. This is my thing, and I know nobody cares, but like watching college football and like being a TCU fan, they're 7-4. They're going to beat Cincinnati next week at home just because, of course, they are. And they're going to finish the season 8-4. They're going to get placed in a lousy bowl game. They might be projected to go to the Independence Bowl in Shreveport, Louisiana, take on Louisiana Tech. They'll win that game too, like they did last year. They're going to finish 9-4 back-to-back years. But I have never seen, Frank, a fan base be so on the opposite page of what the team is. Like, every TCU win this year, aside from their game against North Carolina, where they just blew out North Carolina and looked legit across the board. And they've had a lot of injuries. They're not the same team that played against North Carolina at the beginning of the year. Every single win that they have had has felt like a loss because they have played so poorly. With multiple turnovers and just a circus on a lot of different things. And so, like, it's not even fun to watch them win. It's just like watching them lose every week, but their record looks like they have a winning record. But the team and their staff act like they've accomplished all these great things. It's like, no, you're 8-4. You're going to go 8-4 this year. If you go 7-5, that's going to be a joke. But you can't sit there and say, like, your expectations are to win be in the Big 12 championship race every year and then be excited that you won 8 games. You're like, oh, we're going to a bowl game. Like, anybody cares. I'm sorry. Like,
it sounds
some of the money's for.
It sounds familiar to me, and I want you to get in on this. It sounds like a team that is known as the Frogs. Okay,
the Bears?
Way to hang me out to dry on that
one. The Bears?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the difference is, though,
worst 7-4 team you've ever heard of, but you have heard of us.
The difference is, though, for the Bears, it's the NFL. Like, you just need to win. You don't need to win with any type of style points. In college football, you have to try to win with style points to try to get into the playoff. But your goal as a college football team, especially in the Power Four, is to be competing for championships every year. And they're not doing that. It's just it's frustrating to watch on my own personal soapbox here. But it's like, I don't know how the fan base wants everybody fired, and the entire team thinks they're accomplishing all these great things. It's like that meme with Nicolas Cage and like the dude that's just having a good time in the car.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that
yeah.
whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the guy having a good time in the car is the team and the coaching staff think, this is great. We're 7-4. And then the fan base is like, oh my God, this team sucks.
Thanks.
TCU had it like they get the ball, but they play Houston. And here's the other thing. Houston's terrible. They're the worst 8-2 team I've ever seen. Defensively, TCU shut them down. But Houston looked bad the entire game and lost the game. They physically lost the game, and unfortunately that means TCU ends up winning the game. But TCU was driving with under 2 minutes to go. They get inside the red zone against Houston. Houston doesn't have any timeouts left. On fourth down, TCU... This is the whole portion where I'm dropping off my friend at the wedding going, yeah. Like, oh, they're about to run the clock out. They're going to win this game. Good for them. I drop her off. I get back in the... I look back. I put the game on. And Houston has the ball with a minute and 15 seconds left and somehow have reached the 20-something yard line of TCU looking to kick a game-tying field goal to set into overtime. And thank God the guy chunked it and missed it left. Otherwise, TCU would have... they probably would have lost it in overtime. But it was just terrible football across the board. And you know what? That team seems to be okay with it. Their fan base is not the team is. It's been frustrating watching college football this year. Penn State's been lousy. TCU's been lousy. Tennessee's been okay. I mean, all of our teams, Frank, are not doing great. The only one that's doing great right now is the Aztecs, and they didn't look very good on offense on Saturday.
No, they did not.
So that's us ranting about college football. Drake had a good time at Oregon with the Oregon Ducks. They hammered USC. We expected that. We'll get the full recap from him on that, since Derek and La Mesa did not give us his Oregon recap. And we'll talk about San Diego FC's game tonight. Again, playoff match against Minnesota. Everything you need to know with Drake Hill to finish up the show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
To talk more about San Diego FC, big playoff game tonight, 7 o'clock, Snapdragon Stadium, as they take on Minnesota. It will be a game that will, if they win, will move them to the Western Conference Final. Would be great in the first year of San Diego FC. And to break it down a little bit more is Drake Hills. Usually joins us on Friday, but with our Friday being off this week and with San Diego FC playing tonight, felt useful to bring him on again today. Drake Hills coming off of a big win over USC for his college team, the Oregon Ducks. What's going on?
Yeah, the Ducks, pretty much, I have two different opinions when it comes to the Oregon Ducks, particularly with the defense. The cornerbacks, they make me nervous, man. They really do. I mean, I get it. USC had the two dangerous wide receivers on the outside. They were kind of killing us in the first half, but our D-line is impeccable, and I'm grateful for the front seven. Bryce Betcher, potential big leaguer. I don't know. You know, maybe I'm biased, Braden, but Oregon Ducks moving on. Got a big one against UW this weekend. But, yeah, San Diego FC, the last conference final ticket has yet to be punched, and that's what's up for grabs tonight at Snapdragon.
Yeah, that's what's up for grabs. Vancouver has already punched their ticket as they knocked off LAFC in penalty kicks in their Western Conference semifinal game. And on the Eastern side, it was New York City beating Philadelphia, knocking off the one seed, and then Miami upsetting Cincinnati. So you got the three versus the five in the Eastern Conference, and looking to try to get the one versus the two in the Western Conference. Let's take a deeper look at this particular game. We went over some of the storylines as laid out by the San Diego Union-Tribune. I want to get your take on this. Yeah, and some of them are with the health, some of them are set pieces, but the big one, again, is this two-week playoff break that they have had. How do you think that works out for both Minnesota and San Diego FC with MLS pausing for FIFA international window? Does it kill momentum or is it a timely rest? How do you see it playing out for both teams coming off of this break?
Yeah, I do think it creates a bit of a shift momentum-wise. I think if you look at most of the teams, you're not going to sit here and say that there is a huge lump of guys who are going out to national team duty over the course of early November, but it does kind of create that bit of mental focus, or I should say mental refocus. I think that's what it's really all about, as opposed to who's going on international duty or not. I mean, look at the hysteria. Philadelphia Union has been pretty much the team in the Eastern Conference, and they get shut out against a very talented NYCFC team. I mean, let's be honest, Matt Freese, who is probably going to be the number one, and what I mean the number one, that's means the starting goalkeeper for the U.S. men's national team at the FIFA World Cup, at least as it stands right now in the eyes of head coach Mauricio Pochettino. He's with NYCFC, and so when you have kind of your guys going on international duty, I think that's one thing, but it's more so about the focus and the intensity that you need to go to Philadelphia and get a win as a five seed. And then, of course, I think Miami's a little bit different. Obviously, probably one of the more internationally laden rosters in MLS, Lionel Messi included. But I think from the Vancouver side of things, obviously they have Jaden Nelson, a couple of guys representing Canada, but also Sebastian Bohalter for the U.S. When it comes to San Diego against Minnesota, I think it is more so about protecting home field advantage and having to basically play the psychological game, because we know what happened in mid-September when Minnesota came to San Diego and came from one goal behind to win 3-1. So I think it's more so about the focus as well as the cohesion of the group and kind of continuing that repetition and momentum.
When talking about this game, as we talk with Drake Hills, who is a contributing writer for Black Players for Change, he also is a contributing writer for ESPN.com. And this particular conversation about San Diego FC, again, we spent a lot of the time talking about World Cup qualifying on Friday, but the other thing that was part of tonight's matchup was the health of both of these teams. And for San Diego FC, with the international break, a couple of things got a little dicey there for San Diego FC, but Mikey Varas has said that both Chucky Lozano and Andres Dreyer will play in tonight's game. But Chucky Lozano missed some time with Team Mexico for a hamstring. Andres Dreyer was out with an illness for a little bit for Denmark. How do you see health playing into tonight's matchup?
Yeah, I do think it's a bit of a concern. I think more so, well, I think it's debatable because you can say that Andres Dreyer has obviously been the front runner since Chucky Lozano, you know, not only had, I would say, maybe an off spell offensively, but also at the end of the regular season with the disciplinary issues. Andres Dreyer has been the consistent calling card for the San Diego team. So you can say that Andres Dreyer and his illness that kept him, or I guess pulled him away from Denmark, that was more concerning. But then again, Chucky Lozano, I think he is, and can be argued to be, the X factor. We know that he hasn't really had that guaranteed starting role since the start of the regular season. He's played a substitute role and has obviously contributed offensively with a goal. But I think they need both of them. San Diego FC needs Chucky Lozano in the lineup as they do Andres Dreyer. And I think they both need to, if not score, I think they need to combine for a couple of goals here, because Minnesota United is no joke. I mean, we know that they are a polar opposite of San Diego. They are the team that is going to let San Diego be San Diego, have all the possession, pass the ball around, try as many attacking ploys as they want. But when Minnesota gets that possession, they're going to launch the hardest counterattack. And if you foul them, they're going to continue to be the best specialist set-piece team in the Western Conference, I think, with Michael Boxall at the front of the spear for that. So I think San Diego FC needs a healthy Andres Dreyer, but they also need a healthy Chucky Lozano.
You start Chucky Lozano tonight, or you have him as a second-half sub like they used him last time?
Yeah, I think you need to start him. I get it. If it's a disciplinary thing, which I think it no longer is. I think there was a bit of tactic, I guess you can call it chess, from Mikey Varas there, but I think that you do need your strongest lineup against a Minnesota United team. Mind you, whether they start him or not, I do like Chucky Lozano in the penalty shootout, obviously, because not only is this the last ticket for the conference finals, but in order to beat a Minnesota team, which I think has the best goalkeeper for the penalty shootout in Dane St. Clair, who's the men's national team goalkeeper for Canada. So I think if you don't start him, you're definitely going to need him towards the end of the second half, just in case the penalty shootout is on the horizon.
Let's talk about set pieces, Drake. Minnesota's one of the best in the MLS. In fact, 41% of their goals have come on set pieces this season. San Diego's only gotten 10. Is this a major factor to watch in tonight's game? Is this a key in tonight's game?
100%. I think the way this game will be officiated will be important. I also think that if San Diego just remains patient, I think one of the things that we saw from that September game is they allowed Minnesota to kind of keep punching them, especially in the second half. I'm not sure Mikey Varas would say that was a lack of attention to detail, or if it was just the sheer, I guess you could say, overall strength of a Minnesota team that has been able to do this consistently over the course of the season. And quite honestly, I think that when you take a look at what Andres Dreyer can do, if they can get that lead again, if they can get a one-goal lead going into halftime, I do think that it really comes down to defending set pieces for San Diego to get that win to face Vancouver in the conference final on the 29th.
Well, we got a little bit of time left, not too much time, but 14 of the last 17 goals for San Diego FC have come from Dreyer and Pellegrino. Can San Diego FC win an MLS Cup with that much imbalance? I mean, only three other goals have come from not those two players. Is that something you're looking for tonight?
Yeah, I think that you're going to need Chucky Lozano. I really do. I just think that in order to advance at this level, and I know we're kind of hitting a dead horse here, but Minnesota is not a team that you can easily score on. They're not a team that allows goals in bunches. And then also you got to go through a really tough Vancouver team, which, yeah, the head-to-head looks very nice if you're San Diego. But the reality is this is the playoffs, and you never really know what's going to happen in the playoffs. And being able to score on volume is super important, as we saw from Miami. So I think ultimately they're going to need Chucky Lozano, Mal Pellegrino, and Andres Dreyer in order to get to an MLS Cup.
And we'll see if they're able to do that. Trey, appreciate the time as always. Thanks again. For Frank Marchese, I'm Braden Surprenant signing off for the day as Gwen and Chris will come up next here on 97.3 The Fan. You've been listening to the Braden Surprenant Show, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. See you guys Tuesday. That's a wrap for today's episode of the Braden Surprenant Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.